Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is Flyover Ministry. Jordan, happy belated Thanksgiving to you. Are you
well.
Recovered? I meant to ask this when we started the video chat, but have you recovered digesting-wise from Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I don't think I was too much of a glutton this year.
No? Mariah, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. We spent it in Maryland, so that was, we Thanksgiving hopped. We actually were at two different houses, so it was pretty nice. Wow.
So two big meals?
For everybody else, two big meals. I just ate a little bit.
Gotcha. I should have introduced you properly, I'm realizing, as we launched into this. This is the fifth Wednesday of the month as you're listening to this, and it's odd. I don't know, because November, I think it's because it's 30 days half November. I don't know. The math just seems odd that there would be five Wednesdays in November. It strikes me as more of a December thing. Anyway, we are continuing what we have done in the past. Now, we talked with Chris Crenshaw, and now we are talking with Mariah Graham from Wheatland, Iowa, talking about youth ministry, talking about life, and just wanting to introduce her and her ministry and talk shop about how things are going. So welcome, Mariah. Your youth group actually debuted on the Fly Convention podcasts as we were going around talking with people out at Estes Park. But now you, as the youth leader, get your own little time in the spotlight today.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! I know. Tell us about Wheatland, Iowa. Tell us about Christian Free Lutheran Church. Tell us about yourself as well as we get going here.
Yeah, so for people who don't know the geography of where we're at, we're closer to Illinois than we are to Des Moines. Des Moines is about 3 hours from us. So we're the only AFLC church in the eastern part of the state. And Wheatland is a little over 1,000 people. So we're living in a pretty small town area around here. The school that my students attend is a consolidation of like four towns. So that's been cool. I don't know. It's nice to see like kids come from kind of all over the place and come to church there. The church is pretty small, older crowd, but we do have, you know, between 11 and 13 students that come every week. So that's been pretty fun, pretty wild. They're mostly boys, so it's, you know, loud and a lot of laughing at nothing, you know, that kind of thing.
And is this your home congregation?
Yes. Sorry, that's sort of I jumped around when I was younger and a student still to a couple different churches, but I did, this church did send me to the Bible college. So I attended youth group with them for a while, and then they sent me to the Bible school.
Very cool. So tell us, Mariah, a little bit about yourself as well. You talked about going to the Bible college. You talked about jumping around when you were younger from church to church. But tell us a little bit about yourself. Help our people get to know you a bit as we continue on here.
Sure. So I graduated. I've grown up here in the Wheatland, Calamus area. So I'm back at the house that I grew up in, actually. So I graduated Calamus Wheatland High School is what it's called in 2015. And like I said, Christian Free Lutheran sent me to the Bible College. So I graduated the Bible College in 2017. Through that, of course, they always say you meet your best friends. And Jessica Nickinen and I joined the parish building program when that was still hopping, I suppose. And they sent us to Hagerstown, Maryland. And so We moved out there in September of 2017. And for those who don't know what that is, it's you go and you help a church that they say don't have their feet on the ground. So like the Christ community didn't have youth leaders, but they had some students. And so we went out there to be the youth leaders. And so you're supposed to stay for just 1 year. And Jessica and I ended up staying for four. So that was really awesome. Created quite the community and a second family out there. And then moved back home. And so now I've been with Christian Free Lutheran for, in October, it was 2 years. So.
What made you decide to go to the Bible college?
Honestly, it was such a God thing. That sounds sort of kind of a lame cop-out answer, but I technically finished all my courses in 2014. I wanted to graduate early. I didn't want to be in high school anymore. Not that I didn't have a good time, but I just didn't feel like I fit in high school anymore. Like I felt like I needed to be out of there. And so I had my mindset on doing forensic anthropology and going to the University of Iowa. So I wanted to get a jump start on that, because if you don't know, you have to have a doctorate to make any sort of money in that field. So that's a lot of school. So I wanted to get a jump start on that. And Nate Nash was actually the youth leader when I first started going to youth group here. And he's a big pusher, in a good way, to go to the Bible school. And so he talked quite a bit about it. And I had some friends who went there, so I knew probably four classes above me up until my class. I knew people in each of those classes, just having people who went from Wheatland and things like that. And it seemed like a place where I could really fit in and dig into the Word. And so I scrapped my plans for a doctorate and went to the Bible school instead. And then, like I said, went and did ministry on the East Coast.
So let's explore that a little bit. You went, obviously, from Bible school to the parish ministry. But what was the process from wrestling with having that forensic anthropology desire to now shifting to ministry? Like what really pulled you in that ministry direction?
Yeah, so as soon as I decided to go to the Bible school, I realized that forensic anthropology, that was not going to be for me. I would not last in college that long. I like learning and I like going to classes, and so I would just not last that long. And so as soon as I jumped into the Bible school, it sort of opened up this whole, like, the world is your oyster kind of a mentality. And I had no idea what I wanted to do. And so I think in some ways I used the Bible school as a crutch that way, because I was like, I just have 2 years and I don't have to think about that. I really, to be quite transparent, I was not a big fan of teenagers when I started the Bible school. I was running away from them, quite literally. You know, I graduated high school early so that I could get away from them. And so my second year at the Bible school, I took an early morning class with Jason Holt, Youth Ministry Methods of Jesus. And that was just such a cool class, the way that he dives into it and the way that he just opens up how to handle situations and things like that. And I just fell in love with that class. And that sort of, I think the Lord used that as an opener for, okay, maybe I could be a little bit more ministry minded. And then when we joined the parish building program and they told us that we were going to be working with teens, I was like, oh, I'm so awkward anyway. And I feel like just pairing that with more awkwardness is going to be just cause for a hot mess. You know, having talks with Jason about what that looks like and him sort of talking me through it, we got out there and I just fell in love with hanging out with teens and talking with them and praying over them and with them. And so that's sort of the shift that happened to get into ministry.
So were you involved with student ministry while you were going to the Bible college as well? I ask because
yeah, so you have to be
credit. Right.
Oh yes, Christian service credit was still a thing and required when I was in Bible school. I don't know that it is anymore. I think you had to have 30 hours. And the way that I did that was the water bottle ministry, actually. When that was still going on, we were handing out water to the drunk people down at the in Dinky Town. And so that was cool. But to be part of Jason's youth ministry class, it's required that you jump into teen ministry. And so Jessica, Nickin, and I both took the class, and we did not want to, we didn't know how to fit in with all of the local churches that everybody else was like going to. Like there, we didn't feel there would be a spot for us in the ministry or be able to help very much hands-on with that, because there's so many people there. And so we actually, through advice of a pastor's wife from here, we went to Bethlehem Baptist, and they had a huge youth group. And we talked to the director over there and the official youth leader there, and they sort of plugged us in with the senior girls. The way that they break it up is like upperclassmen, lowerclassmen, guys and girls. And so that was our first sort of dive into ministry through Jason's class. You have to be part of that.
So right now you're serving as youth leader in Wheatland, Iowa, in a smaller congregation, but you're also like approaching this from more of a bivocational ministry. Is that correct? So in other words, what are you doing aside from just your work at the church there?
Yeah, so I have 3 part-time jobs, and it's been good. Each of them, I think, hits something that the Lord knew that I needed. So, of course, I'm the youth leader with Christian Free, and then I'm also a very, very part-time nanny to 3 little girls. The mom is a teacher and the dad is a firefighter, and so every time that their days overlap, I watch the girls. So it's probably anywhere between, you know, 6 and 11 times a month that I watch these girls. So that's been really fun. They're really awesome. And then there's a couple in our congregation who, he was actually my science teacher at the high school. He and his wife own a preservation. And so I work there part-time as well, sort of packing seeds to get shipped out. I did not help with the actual planting of them, but I helped with the harvesting of them, and then he dries the seed, and then we pack it to be shipped out. You can go online and order on his catalog thing. And so I, when you receive that kind of stuff, I'm packing those things and putting labels on them and things like that. And then he also sells different kinds of birds, chickens, ducks, geese, guinea hens, quail, that kind of thing. So helping sort of more on the business side of that.
Has he ever sold a peacock?
You know, that's a really good question.
It's not a good question. It's a dumb question, but thanks for that.
I don't know if he has. I want to say that he used to have them, and I don't know that he has. He probably wouldn't have sold the peacock. He probably would have sold the peahens. But anyway, if he did that, I don't know. That's a good question.
So let's shift gears a little bit to more of ministry in your context here. And, you know, ministry can bring you a lot of really high highs and some pretty deep lows and stuff too. So as you think through your years serving students in this capacity, what have been some, like, one of your favorite learning experiences and one of the more difficult learning experiences that you've gone through?
Yeah, I think I'll start with a difficult one. So out of all the years of ministry, which I say that like I've been doing this for 100 years, but the few years that I've been doing it, when we first got to Maryland, they had not been very consistent with who the youth leader was. They sort of bounced around quite a bit. And so when you're in ministry, that's not ideal for any age, right? For little kids, for teens, or for adults. And so when we got there, we were really excited to sort of jumpstart whatever it is that the Lord had planned for us and for the students. And the students looked us right in the eye and said to our face, "We don't want you here. you're going to leave us just like everybody else. And that was how we started our ministry up there. And that was, it was hard. It was hard because we already felt like they hated us. It was hard because our heart broke for their broken hearts about what was happening in their ministry and how they were feeling about the leaders previously. Mm-hmm. While they loved their leaders, it just sort of felt like everyone kept leaving them. And so we did break through that. Of course, we stayed for 4 years, and so we had really great relationships with our students. We, when we went out there for Thanksgiving, we actually set aside time and we hung out with some of them, and so that was really awesome to sort of still have that connection. But that was months of really low lows, you know. On the flip side, there's been a lot of like really awesome highlight moments, but I think probably two specifically that stand out to me is in our group. Our group dynamic is interesting in that we have like two or three consistent girls, and then the rest are boys. So it's a lot of boys. It's a lot of boys. And so one of the girls, she came up to me and she was like, "Hey, I'm really looking for a mentor, and I just don't click with anyone at my church." And because she actually lives in another town, and so they drive all the way out here to go to youth group. And she's like, "Would you be my mentor?" And that really like rung true with me. That was a really awesome relationship that we have formed and the connection there. And then also, I'm a visual learner. So if you are trying to tell me and communicate something with me and you're just using words, 9 times out of 10, it's going to go over my head. I just won't understand it. Even if you're talking to me like I'm 5, I need to be able to see it to really comprehend what you're telling me. And I think that I forget that sometimes with students, like that they also learn in different ways. And so I had them act out the woman at the well one time. And one of our students was like, "Can we act out every Bible story? Because I remember it so much better when we do that. Like when we are just discussing it," he's like, "it's really good and I can ask a lot of questions, but I don't remember it the next week. So let's act everything out." And I was like, "Okay, thank you for telling me that." So that was really cool. We've been able to sort of allow them to help with how they learn and that they want, that tells me that they want to learn the Bible stories, you know?
How far do your students come? Like, would you say, like, how far would you have to drive from one end, like as far east and as far west? Like, what's the range of your
That's in mileage, I have no idea. So we have a couple kids that live right on, we're in Clinton County, so we have a couple kids that live right on the Cedar County line. So that's probably about 15 minutes west of us. And then we have three students that come from Davenport, which is the next biggest town over. So that's like 35 minutes east of us. So otherwise, most of the kids live sort of in town.
Yeah, 35 minutes then. I don't know. Jordan, how far do people come for your youth group? I don't know if I've ever asked you that.
No, that's fair. I don't have anybody that's traveling like super far, but we also are not necessarily as isolated maybe as Wheatland is. Like, we've got just communities that are packed together. So like, you drive out of one township and you're immediately in the next township, and then you have like the city proper and then other township and stuff. So we have, well, I would say probably we've got some students that come that are not from our congregation. One in particular who, like, their homeschool family, she does like 4 or 5 youth groups a week. So she's pretty gung-ho, but I think she probably travels the furthest. I'd say maybe a half hour or so out. But yeah, otherwise it's pretty centrally located for us out here.
All right. 5 youth groups a week. So yours is not the only youth group that has a wonky time to get together.
No, it's spread out pretty good. So 5 might be a little excessive. I think she's cut back a little bit. But yeah, there's a couple students that are they're hitting youth groups pretty hard throughout the week. So
Mariah, as you think about your involvement in ministry, what has been something that you have found that has helped you tremendously? Like, what has been a tool or resource or curriculum? Like, what has helped you? You mentioned allowing the students to be able to act out these Bible stories and these lessons, but what other resources have you found?
Honestly, pretty much just the Bible. I mean, we're just reading straight out of the scripture each week. We're not reading other devotionals or other books or anything like that. But honestly, other youth leaders. Jason has been a really great resource in the past. Reaching out, we have the Facebook group with all of the volunteers and youth leaders. That has been really great. People posting questions and things like that. YDubs has been a really good resource in the past. I personally find that it's easier for me to get the answers to questions and things like that when I just talk to other people rather than when I like try and look it up on the internet or read it in a book. I'm just not quite getting it as much as when I reach out to other people who have a lengthier ministry time than me.
Yeah, that's helpful. I know that sometimes we can undersell the value of just doing this journey with others. So that's a really good reminder of the importance of having, I don't necessarily want to say a team, because that's maybe a little bit different as far as like how regularly you get together, but having a group that you can journey with and have questions. And so just want to extend an invitation. If you don't have something like that or aren't aware, we do have that Facebook page that Mariah mentioned. We'll maybe put a link to that, or can you link Facebook pages? I don't know. We'll put something in the description so that you can try to find it that way. But would love to have your voice as a part of that as well. So thinking to
and we'd love to see you at YDubs.
That, yeah, okay, Mr. YDubs planner person. Yes,
I am the YDubs planning person. And
shameless
Shameless plug. Well, Mariah is on the team as well.
I'm the outsider. But for those who might not be aware, inside baseball a little bit, as we just use that term YDubs, but our youth worker weekends. So I think most of the people who are listening are probably within our fellowship. But if you're not, then, you know, you are welcome to come too. We'd love to have your presence as well. And feel free to ask us any questions about that. We'd love to tell you a little bit more. So good opportunity.
I know Wisconsin in January is a big ask, but there's a reason it is faithfully attended. It's honestly like the number of people who have this become a highlight of their year, not just ministry year, but just highlight of their actual year, speaks, I think, to the fellowship and the community that we have grown and appreciate during that weekend. But as you think about your time in ministry, Mariah, like, where have been instances where you have found encouragement and strengthening as you continue to serve in Wheatland?
Man, I feel like I'm just repeating myself over and over with the same answer, but the people in the congregation have been a really big encouragement, whether it's just a pat on the back and saying thank you for what you're doing, or a genuine come over to my house and have dinner, and I just want to get to know you. Who are you? Who is the person behind the title youth leader? Has been really encouraging, because it can be really awkward to sort of dive in really deep to your students and want to get to know them and then not have that in return from other people, if that makes sense. So you're like really have like a depth with students and you have a very surface level awkward appearance with whether it's their parents or their guardians or, you know, other people in your congregation. So the congregation really coming around, and honestly, the parents, every time that they say thank you in our group text, or they send a thumbs up to the next thing that we have, or verbally telling me like, hey, I can't wait for my student to attend that. That really is uplifting, encouraging to me. It's, we're doing something, the Lord is doing something right in the ministry if these students are coming each week and want to be a part of that, and that their parents want them to be a part of that. You know, that shows a huge work in my eyes, because I think only 4 or 5 of the 11 to 13 that we have coming are actual congregation members in our church. So all the other kids, their parents don't come to church there. They don't have necessarily grandparents are there. So to hear that there's something in the community that wants that is a big encouragement to me.
That's awesome. Great.
Yeah. And at those building those networks of relationships in the congregation outside of youth group and with families is huge too. And being invited, you know, I think that's maybe overlooked these days, the power of an invitation, and even being able to invite others just to join you for a meal has been a big thing for us lately, and a blessing too. So as we approach wrapping up our conversation today, one last question about the future, Mariah, is as you're looking ahead, now don't feel like you have to divulge any secrets or anything like that, but what are your dreams for the future? Like 5 years, where do you see yourself? Where would you hope to have happen in that time? Ministry, personal, whatever, just what's waiting for you in the future?
Yeah, I'm hoping to sort of see some of these students into their high school career. I'd love to, I'd love to be somebody who they can reach out to and still have asked questions to and things like that. And really, maybe this sounds sort of lame, but really bump up our lock-in game. I feel like we've got a good hold on like a schedule, but now we just got to really ramp it up and in style and games and things like that. Personally, I think in 5 years, I'd really love to be back out on the East Coast. It's really no secret that I miss the East Coast, that I long to be with my second family. But it was really the Lord working in a way that I, of course, had no idea when he moved me back home to Iowa to, you know, unbeknown to me for a while, to come and work with these students and to build that relationship. So, yeah, not a big 5-year planner, but that's the basic plan.
Sure. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And that's wonderful. As we close our time together, Mariah, let us just pray for you really quick, and then we'll wrap up and head out for the episode. So, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for Mariah, for her serving you, Lord, faithfully, and even as she just shared, Lord, her heart being in a different place and wanting to go back, but Lord, following your call to the place where she's at now. Lord, I understand that. And I thank you for the way that she has followed your leading in that. And Lord, is willing to go wherever you send her. I pray, Lord, that you would clarify as she goes year by year, what is in store for her next, and continue to give her fruitful ministry, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the encouragement that she's received through students being excited about learning, about wanting to share just Bible stories and skits so they can understand it better, the encouragement of having relationships and things like that falling into place. And I pray that those blessings would continue for her as well. And Lord, I pray that we would learn from what she shared too, especially things like the significance of being able to commit to a place for a while. So the impact of that time in the lives of students, Lord God, that otherwise might just feel abandoned or left out, Lord. The investment that we make is significant. And Lord, we might not ever see really what our ministry, our service does in the lives of others. But Lord, we pray that you would encourage us to be faithful in that as well. And Lord, I pray for other people that are wrestling through the things that she wrestled through too, just thinking of different life callings and exploring their futures and holding to the future with uncertainty. God, I pray that you'd be continuing to lead and bringing others into a place where they can see the value of serving in ministry in whatever capacity, if it's volunteering for a few hours a week or actually going into it as a full-time career itself. We pray that you'd be bringing others into ministry. We thank you, God, for this time together as well, and pray, Lord, that we'd be mutually encouraged, and that through your Spirit and through the power of your word, God, that as we journey together for your kingdom, that we would go in peace and we'd serve you. Amen.
Thanks, Mariah. Real quick, if people wanted to get a hold of you, ask you any other questions, where can they find you online?
Oh, online. I have Instagram, Facebook, that kind of thing.
What are the handles?
Just the handles, like just my name?
Well, yeah, your username.
Mariah Graham.
Just Mariah Graham. All right. Wasn't yep. sure if there was something quirky.
No, it's nothing clever. Wild. Youth leader of the world. No. It's just Mariah Graham.
Didn't Jason Holt have like crazy youth guy or something like that for a while? I think when he was serving in Fergus Falls, he had some email like that. But anyway, thanks for this again. Yeah, Jordan, good to see you again. We'll be recording here the December episodes soon, but hope that you all had a good Thanksgiving. And yeah, pray that you would go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.